session number 10905,
well,
rule 3.
As I was saying, they when they got, I think if they'd have got ashore with these people, I think that would have been all right, because I always firmly believe that that seamen all over the world are a special fraternity, and I think they feel for each other. A lot of the chaps on the ship, as I say, were young men, and I believe that they wouldn't willingly and killed people unless that was part of their duty. I don't think there's any of them could have gone ashore and stuck a bayonet in anybody. The fact that you were on the ship, and I think also you have to think that was either them or us in these in certain situations. So no, I don't think there was too much ill feeling over the business. I think really it was just, well, that's a job got to be done, and it was a bit of a sad job anyway.
What can you tell me about Dakar, which happened a few weeks after this?
Well, we went as part of H Force. We had the Barham there, and the Resolution, and the Ark Royal, which laid well offshore, and we had a merchant ship there with General de Gaulle on the ship with three French soldiers. When I say a merchant, he was a merchant liner. And we went there again to try and get what remained of the French fleet, which was particularly the Richelieu, which was the brand new French battleship, to come over to our side. And once again, I suppose they were given the ultimatums of either coming with us or going to America to a neutral port, so that they couldn't be any trouble to us. And there again, we steamed up and down outside Dakar for 3 days. Dakar Harbour, you had to come into it and go into the bay and then out again at the far end. And this we done, as I say, for 3 days. At night time, we laid off. We didn't go in at night time, obviously. And we were told our target for our 15-inch guns would be a pile of peanut husks in the harbour. That if you hit them, I mean, it made such a cloud of dust that nothing could be seen in the harbour. I think that was the idea of it. And the Barham was to be the one that fired at the Richelieu. This was if all else failed. I mean, if she didn't turn up or didn't come out. And the thing that struck me most, and it's in my mind to this day, is the intense heat. It was so hot. We were lucky. We were, once again, I was on my anti-aircraft gun, so we were up top. But the chaps in the turret must have been losing pounds and pounds in sweat. I mean, it was so bad, so hot. We lost one lad who died through drinking cold water. He got stomach cramp, and they told us not to drink cold water. In fact, if you wanted to drink tea or something warm. And this lad, I also remember, he was a Geordie, a fellow from Gateshead. And he was in one of the turrets, and he drank, and they buried him at sea while we were running up and down doing this doing these negotiations. On the third morning we went in, always remember it, 9 o'clock, almost like office workers, I suppose. We made our first run in at 9 o'clock, and as the Barham was always ahead of us. She used to go in ahead of us, and as we went in, somebody said that there was a buoy had been put it in the harbour. A buoy had been placed in the harbour where we turned. As you went in and turned out, this buoy was there, and they realised too late, I suppose, what the buoy was there for. that was the turning point where they could line us up for being torpedoed. And as we went in, so they fired these six torpedoes at us below. One hit, that was a submarine, one hit us, and the others are still going somewhere. But this one hit us, and we heeled over. I thought we were going to turn turtle, but we didn't. We stayed at an acute angle for, as I always say, for about 5 months before we ever became straight again. And the submarine surfaced and pulled up a white flag, and one of our destroyers rammed it and sank it. Which destroyer it was, I couldn't tell you, but I know that she rammed this submarine and sunk it anyway. And then we had to, from then on, it was panic stations. We had to get away. In fact, the Barham had hit the Richelieu. The story goes that it hit her stern so that she couldn't steer. She'd messed the steering gear up. What happened to the Richelieu after that, I couldn't tell you. I don't know. But we had lost way. We couldn't use our engines. We were just there. And while we were there, they sent an Air Force plane out from Dhaka, and they dropped a bomb on us, or dropped a bomb at us. And I still think that the French Air Force was on our side, but the Navy weren't. And I think that was so far away, but you could see this bomb coming out the sky. It was a massive thing, but it fell in the water and never done any damage. Because they'd asked us, or de Gaulle had asked them, that if the French Air Force were coming on our side, would they make a cross on the runway out of rags or, you know, flags or something to say that they were on our side. And of course planes from the Ark Royal were flying in and out as well, and it was the Navy that didn't want anything to do with us. So I think that was a leftover from Oran, only my opinion, but they are. Anyway, to get back to the story of us, we were stationary, we couldn't move. So the Barham took us in tow, and they towed us back to Freetown. And while we were being towed back, to lessen the weight in the ship, we ditched a lot of 1-ton projectiles, practice projectiles, which were a ton each. They got nothing in them, they were just 1 ton of steel, you see, that they used to use for practice on the in the 15-inch guns instead of firing live ammunition. And some while after, or it was a couple of years after that some lad who was on the Barham had met my uncle who lived in Shrewsbury, and he told him that we were putting bodies over the side all the way from Dakar to Freetown, but it wasn't bodies, it was the shells that they were pitching over the side, and they thought it was bodies. But they eventually got us back to Freetown, and we anchored there, and we were there for about 3 or 4 months. She left, I don't know where the Barham went to, but she left us, and we were left there on our own in Freetown Harbour. I should have told you before Oran that the H Force's apparent job, although the troops were left to guess a lot of what was happening, although we were told quite a bit by our different commanders, different captains, that we had to prod the eastern end of the Mediterranean to see what the Italian Navy, which we never saw actually, but what the Italian Air Force were like. And our Admiral, who was in charge of H Force, Admiral Cunningham, had sent a signal to the ships that today we were going out to test the price and quality of ice cream. Presumably, obviously, thinking that all the Italians were good for was making ice cream. But as we got further into the Eastern Mediterranean, the words weren't funny, really, because they were fairly good at high-level bombing, and they put the fear of Christ into me at times. And their ice cream carts could certainly go to town as far as I was concerned.
But the resolution wasn't hit.
But we wasn't hit, and nor was any other ship, fortunately. although we had these other battleships with us, and we had the Ark Royal, which used really to, she was protected by a screen of destroyers most of the time, because it was obvious that she was a very valuable asset to the admiral because of her planes. But no, we weren't hit. Nobody was hit, and the only narrow scrape we got was on my high angle gun, the HA gun, was when the planes got into such a position over the ship that you couldn't do anything about it. The gun wouldn't go onto the planes, and they used to say clear the gun, and used to run into a corridor which was on the boat deck between, you know, in the middle of the ship. And when we came back from that, on this particular occasion, where the layer and the trainer sat, they had two shields around them each side, as I explained before, where they used to sit and train and lay the gun. There was a piece of shrapnel that had gone through four sections of the armament, and it would have took both their heads off, you know, where they would have sat. There was a hole in the it was about a 3-inch jagged hole through the where a bomb splinter had gone through and had hit the deckhead, hit the side of the deck where we were, and it made a dent in there. I mean, the majority of the force of it had been taken off by the four sections of the gun that had gone through. But if any bloke would have sat there, they would have had their heads torn off, no doubt about that. So Providence was on their side that day, but that was the only time that anything happened. We never had anything drastic happen to us.
Once you were repaired, was it Atlantic convoy work that you were on?
No, we came back from America. We went to Bermuda first to make sure everything was all right, and then we spent a fortnight down there, and then we came back to Britain, and from there we'd been away about 9 months, I suppose, and they gave us some leave, and then we went out to the Far East. We went to we were on our way out to Singapore, and we took we escorted four troop ships which we were taking out there, you know, to help out in the Far East. And we left the Clyde in January of that year, 1942, and we took these troops as far as Cape Town, and then for some reason we had to come back to Freetown again for that was a convoying job back to Freetown. I can't remember what we were convoying, but we had to come back to Freetown, and we turned around and come back again to go continue our journey to Singapore. But on the way down to Cape Town on the second trip, we learned that the Prince of Wales and the Repulse had been sunk. So we didn't go there after all. We went, they formed an Eastern Fleet, and we all finished up in Mombasa, Kilindini. And there was a massive fleet in Kilindini. You're talking in the region of about four or five battleships, and there was aircraft carriers and cruisers and destroyers and submarines. It was a big fleet, and our job apparently was to go into the Indian Ocean and beyond and harass the Japanese. But we never ever saw any Japanese. Two of our cruisers got sunk while we were there, the Dorsetshire and the Cornwall, and they were sunk by enemy aircraft in the Indian Ocean. But what we done was to convoy up to Bombay and convoy back, and then go into the Indian Ocean with our escorts and people like that to go to these different islands and generally be a presence, I suppose. But we never ever saw any Japs ships or planes or anything, and we were out there for 2 years. But in the meantime, they were still doing their business in Southeast Asia, but we weren't involved in any of that at all. I'll say we were just there. I suppose we were there as just to say that there was a navy there, or part of a navy there, and we'd done our work going around these different islands and probably make sure that there was no Japs on them and things like that. But apart from that, I never saw any more action after that.